Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Cricket by Willow Hadley, narrated by Monica King and Chris Chambers. 1. Cricket.
Oh, thank God. My brothers chuckle in amusement, and I half-heartedly kick the passenger seat in front of me. We'd just passed the sign officially welcoming us to Emery Ridge, Colorado, and I keep my face practically pressed up against the window as my eyes drink in the town I'd soon be calling home.
"Did you not have fun on our road trip, baby sis?"
Killian turns around to ask me with a pout on his face. Honestly, I'd had a ton of fun. It had taken us 4 days to drive here from Tampa, Florida. I'd never been on a trip like this without my parents before, and my older brothers were the most entertaining travel buddies in the entire freaking world. I give Killian a sweet smile and admit, I had fun. I gently run my fingers through Stella's soft beige fur, and she curls into an even tighter coil in my lap.
But Stella's feeling a little cooped up in here.
Is that right, Stella?
Killian grins down at the sleepy Siamese cat. Stella yawns and stretches her toes out before lazily opening her eyes to look up at him. She hisses and promptly curls back up to sleep. Killian squints his eyes and smiles even wider.
Aw, I love you too.
Emerson snickers from beside him, and I roll my eyes while I scratch behind her ears. Stella can be such an ass sometimes, but I love my little familiar. My oldest brother reaches an arm behind him without looking and pats my knee affectionately.
Almost there, kiddo. I'm feeling pretty cooped up too.
Killian snorts at his twin and wiggles his eyebrows.
Are you sure you're not just missing your boyfriend?
A giggle escapes my throat, and I share a conspiring smile with Killian when M doesn't immediately deny the accusation. It's still the weirdest thing ever to think Emerson has a boyfriend. My brothers and I have never dated anyone seriously, and M's always been the biggest player between the three of us. At least, he was before he met Luca.
Luca's not working today, Emerson grumbles. We probably won't even see him until tomorrow.
Aww, I whine. Despite our teasing, Killian and I are both thrilled for our older brother. I've seen tons of pictures of Luca, but I haven't had the chance to meet him in person yet. We turn onto a picturesque street with adorable shops and restaurants lining both sides. In the background, I can see mountains for miles. It's so ridiculously gorgeous that it takes my breath away. I'm going to miss my parents for sure, but I can't help but feel a tiny thrill as my magic curls blissfully inside of me. I'm not sure how or why, but I suddenly have the strongest feeling that I'm meant to be here. Emerson parks right in front of our Aunt Aurora's place. I grin as I stare up at the gorgeous chateau-style four-story building. The first floor is dedicated to an eclectic bookshop called Flora and Feathers Books, and Aurora renovated the upper apartments and offices into one large living space. Emerson's boyfriend, Luca, works here with Aurora too, which is how he and Em met last year when the twins first started university. On the second floor of the building, Aurora has her office and workshop, and a room she uses for tarot card and palm readings for customers on the side. The third floor is reserved for most of her living quarters, a living room, kitchen, her bedroom, and another guest room. The fourth floor and attic will be my room. Since my parents agreed to let me move in with her, my aunt's been sending me almost daily pictures and updates as she fixed the room up for me over the past few months. After waiting for what feels like forever, I'm finally going to see my new bedroom in person for the first time. The moment the vehicle stops and I move to get out, Stella stretches out her legs and hops onto my shoulder. She digs her nails into my skin to steady herself, but I barely notice. Stella goes practically everywhere with me, perched on my shoulder like a fuzzy, demented little parrot. Emerson walks around to the back of his black SUV, but Killian runs ahead of us into the bookshop. As excited as I am to get inside and see Aurora, I help Em with the luggage first. He yanks out one of my massive suitcases and sets it on the ground with a grunt. He gives me a look out of the corner of his eye, and I giggle for a second as I watch him struggle with the second, even larger suitcase that's still in the car. Eventually, I take pity on him, since he technically is carrying my bags for me. I quickly wave my left hand and use my magic to control the air surrounding both bags. They're basically floating. That's how light they should feel in Emerson's hands. He shoots me a thankful smile and starts making his way into the shop. I grab two smaller bags and follow behind him. Inside, Aurora is standing near the counter with her arms wrapped tightly around a grinning Killian. She looks up when she hears the bell over the door, and she beams when she sees me and Emerson. She pulls us both into a tight, warm hug. She pulls back and pats Emerson lovingly on the cheek. It's only been a few months since she's seen the twins, as they both go to school in Denver a couple hours away from here. I haven't seen my vivacious aunt in almost 2 years. Even though we talk on the phone and FaceTime frequently, it totally isn't the same. I bump my hip into Emerson and push him away so I can have her all to myself. Aurora laughs and places her hands on either side of my face. Oh, my darling Cricket, look at how beautiful you are. A huge black crow flies over and lands gently on my vacant shoulder. I lift my hand to softly stroke Harold's feathers, and he nips at my fingers affectionately. Stella growls lightly and swipes a paw at the other familiar in irritation. Oh, Stella, Aurora laughs. I see you haven't changed a bit. She taps Stella playfully on her small brown nose. Stella growls even louder in turn so that even though she's still on my shoulder, she's now facing away from Aurora. God, she's so dramatic. Aurora pulls me and Emerson further into the bookshop and asks about the trip. I look around the shop, admiring the smell of so many books. The bookshop is fairly large, with several shelves and aisles of books leading all the way to the back of the building. The cash register sits atop a beautiful wooden counter near the front entrance, and on the opposite wall there's one long shelf of books with one of those sliding ladders. I already can't wait to play around on that thing. Aurora continues talking as she walks toward the door that leads to the upstairs. Her silky silver hair is swinging around her tall, willowy figure, reaching nearly to her waist. Before she guides me and my brothers upstairs, she calls out to a girl stacking books onto a shelf further back in the shop. As the girl approaches, I notice that she looks close to my age. She's a little shorter than me, a bit heavyset, and she has a cute round face with curly brown hair and soft brown eyes. Her eyes quickly glance over me and my two brothers, and she thoroughly blushes when her eyes land on them. This is my niece, Cricket, and my nephews, Killian and Emerson, Aurora says. Cricket's going to be living here until she finishes school. Actually, I believe you're in the same grade. I grin at Paisley, totally relieved. I'd been going to the same school with the same judgmental kids my entire life, and I'd never exactly fit in. As excited as I am to get a fresh start, it's nerve-wracking to think of starting over completely. Paisley gives me another considering look and frowns slightly when she takes in my outfit. I glance down, making sure I don't have a nipple hanging out. It's happened before. But nope, I'm perfectly decent. I'm wearing cut-off shorts with the pockets poking out from the bottom of the hem, a cropped tank top, and a flannel with the sleeves rolled up over top. I'm also barefoot, and I'm wearing my usual exorbitant amount of rings, bracelets, and necklaces. I want to tell Paisley this is a pretty conservative look for me. If I could get away with it, I'd probably go naked all the time. She finally meets my eyes again and offers me a shy smile.
It's nice to meet you, Cricket.
Yeah, same. It'll be nice starting off the school year knowing at least one person. Emerson jumps into the conversation and says,
My brother and I go to school in Denver, so we're not too far from here either.
Killian gives her an appraising look, but isn't unfriendly when he asks,
Did you just start working here? I don't remember seeing you around last year.
With the twins' attention on her, Paisley completely freezes up and a vibrant blush forms on her cheeks. I'm not surprised. Girls and guys are always fawning over the twins. They're nearly identical, with short, dark brown hair and blue eyes, and they've got muscles for days. Em's a little more muscular than Killian, but they're both 6 feet tall. It's totally not fair. They got all the tall genes, and I'm stuck at a whopping 5'4". Since Paisley's speechless, Aurora answers for her.
Paisley started working here in June. My dear, can you mind the shop while I help them settle in upstairs?
Paisley nods and waves at us before turning and heading toward the front of the shop. The twins start up the stairs, my bag still in Emerson's hands, and I slowly follow behind them. By the time I make it to the third floor, my legs are killing me. Killian's already sprawled across the couch, flipping through channels on the television. He's such a lazy little shit, making himself right at home. I look at the final staircase that will lead to my new attic bedroom and groan. I slowly make it up the steps, silently motivating myself by imagining how amazingly toned my legs will be after living here after just a couple of months. Emerson's already waiting for me, and he laughs when he realizes I'm panting. I flip him off and flop down onto the bed. Offended by the sudden movement, Stella hops down from my shoulder and starts exploring around the room.
I know I've seen pictures, but the room is seriously beautiful. The floors are hardwood, matching the rest of the house and bookshop downstairs. The walls are a pretty cream color, and there's a fluffy white rug centered on the floor of the room. There's a queen-sized wrought iron bed on the wall opposite the door, centered underneath a large window. At the end of the bed, there's a small bench with some folded blankets on top of it, and a light green and cream-colored duvet covering the bed, and matching cream sheets and pillows. On the right side of the room, underneath another window, there's a white wooden desk and chair. On the left side of the room, there are two doors, one for a decently sized closet with a dresser inside, and the other leading into a small, updated bathroom with a large walk-in shower. In the corner next to the desk, there's a beautiful full-length mirror outlined with fairy lights.
"Do you love it?" Aurora asks from the doorway at the top of the stairs.
Emerson mumbles that he's going to head downstairs to chill with Killian. Aurora squeezes his arm as he slips by her, promising to be down in a minute.
"Yes, it's totally perfect. Thank you so much for letting me stay here, Roar."
Aurora shows me where everything is in the bathroom and gives me a key to the shop. She has some protection spells up around the building to prevent break-ins, and she promises to show me how to check those later. After she goes downstairs to hang out with the twins, I open both the windows in my room and relish in the cool mountain breeze. From the window above the desk, I can see Aurora's garden behind the shop. It looks like Stella has already found her way there. I can see her tiny beige form darting through a bed of flowers. I'll have to remind her to be careful with Aurora's plants, as she uses a lot of them in her spells and potions. Behind the garden, I can see a row of other buildings from the next street over and a beautiful mountainscape. It's stunning, and my magic is humming happily just from being here in this new place. I can't wait to see what Emery Ridge has in store for me.
2. Cricket.
I'm coming inside from the back garden when I hear Aurora call my name. Over the past week I've been here, she's been teaching me more about the plants and herbs she most often uses in her spells and potions. Her workshop upstairs is insane, and she has different potions for practically anything imaginable. My affinity is air, but Aurora thinks it's important that I learn more about other types of magic too, especially since I'll be 18 soon, which is when witches come fully into their power. Aurora's affinity is second sight, which is tricky and constantly changing. Unlike an element-based affinity, second sight is almost impossible to master. Aurora's spent her life learning as much as she can about other forms of magic and mastering different spells and potions to make up for the unreliable nature of her affinity. I can't wait to see what sort of things I can learn from her while I'm here. I've been in the garden with Stella most of the day, weeding and watering plants and gathering up some herbs that Aurora was running low on upstairs. I'm covered in dirt and sweat, and I'm sure my hair is wilder than usual. I'm wearing cut-off jean shorts again and a cropped lace bralette top, and I'm barefoot, of course. Whoever is up front with Aurora will probably think I look like a heathen, but whatever. She probably just wants me to watch the register while she does a tarot card reading upstairs. As soon as I see her, I want to turn back around. Aurora is standing beside the counter talking to an extremely attractive guy. He's already checking me out, and he plasters a grin to his face. Ah, fuck it. I guess I'll have to play this one cool. I keep walking up to the counter and casually lean against it, smiling sweetly at the cute stranger. "What's up, Roar?" I ask, totally cool and casual, like I'm not covered in dirt. The guy in front of me isn't even trying to hide the fact that he's still checking me out. I decide I'm not going to be subtle either as I let my eyes travel his entire body. He's really tall, definitely over 6 feet, and practically towering over my short 5'4" stature. His body is lean, but I can tell from his arms he's still very muscular. His hair is a gorgeous russet color, long enough to fall around his ears and curl adorably over his forehead. His eyes are a warm brown, and his mouth is still wearing a sexy and amused smirk. He's wearing a pair of tan shorts, a white t-shirt with a skate brand logo on it, and a pair of gray Vans. "Cricket, this is Theo. Theo, this is my niece, Cricket." Theo grins even wider, if possible, and holds his hand out for me to shake.
"Nice to meet you, Cricket,"
he says my name teasingly. I smirk back at him. I'm used to people commenting on my name. It is weird, and I still don't know what my parents were on when they named me. When I place my hand in his, my magic flares up inside of me. I've never had this reaction from touching somebody before. Maybe I just really want to have sex with him. I realize I haven't looked away from him since I walked into the room, so I quickly turn to look at my aunt. She has this smug-ass smile on her face, watching the two of us. Feeling suddenly embarrassed, I widen my eyes at her, hoping she'll tell me what she called me in here for. Way too casually, Aurora gestures at Theo and says, "Theo is a werewolf from the local pack." I raise my eyebrows in shock, but Aurora looks totally serious. I didn't even know werewolves existed, and I definitely had no idea that Aurora knew any. When I turn my head to look at Theo, he's staring at my aunt with his mouth open and his eyes crazy wide. Oh my god, is Aurora messing with me right now? Theo is going to think we're completely insane if that's the case. When Theo doesn't say anything, Aurora continues. "Werewolves can't exactly go to the hospital when they get sick or injured, so Theo's uncle comes to me when they need any medicines or potions. Which reminds me, I really need to show you some decent healing spells, Cricket. We'll start tomorrow, okay?" Theo continues staring at Aurora like she's nuts, but he also appears a little curious. He tentatively asks, "Healing spells?" Aurora tilts her head in confusion. "Of course. Didn't your uncle tell you I'm a witch?" Theo shrugs and stumbles over his words.
"I mean, yeah, he did, but I didn't realize he meant, like, I didn't know you could actually do magic."
Aurora beams. "So can Cricket. Witches come into their magic fully when they turn 18, but she's pretty spectacular already." Theo seems intrigued when he looks back at me. I notice his nostrils flare ever so slightly, and he gives me a genuine smile. Aurora asks which supplies his uncle is asking for, and Theo hands her a piece of paper with a short list scrawled in messy handwriting. Aurora gives us a scheming smile as she walks away. "I'll be back in just a moment with these. Cricket, be a dear and watch the register." As soon as I hear the door click, signaling that she's gone upstairs and out of the bookshop, I turn to meet Theo's eyes again. I have no idea what to say after Aurora just dropped those lovely bombshells. Theo breaks the silence first. He chuckles under his breath and asks,
"Is she, trying to set us up or something?"
I groan and close my eyes, and I can already feel my cheeks heating in embarrassment. "God, probably." Theo laughs for real, and I can't help smiling up at him. He seems to hesitate before asking,
"Are you really a witch?"
I grin and nod at him. It's a little surprising that he didn't know about Aurora, considering she's friends with Theo's family.
"Can you show me your magic?"
He grins excitedly. I raise an eyebrow at him, flirtatiously. I'll show you mine if you show me yours. He scrunches up his nose, which is the most adorable thing ever, and laughs again. But then he shuffles his feet awkwardly and says,
I have to ask my uncle. I didn't realize that your aunt, knew about us. I didn't even know witches were real, to be honest.
I can't help giggling, even though I feel bad that Aurora put him on the spot like this. It's silly that we're both so shocked and clueless about each other, considering we both have supernatural backgrounds. I have so many questions I want to ask, but I hold my tongue for now. Since Theo's being so sweet and he seems genuinely interested, I decide to show him something small. I dash to the door to check that nobody's about to walk in. When I turn back around, Theo is watching me curiously. I give him a wicked smile and dramatically wave my hand in the air. The motion is unnecessary, but sometimes I do it out of habit or for dramatic flair. Waving and gesturing with my hands was the easiest way for me to learn to control my magic when I was younger. A few books come gliding off the shelves and float in the air just above his head. I make them spin in a circle, and the breeze I've created makes his hair stir slightly. After a few moments, I move the books back into their original spots on the shelves. Theo laughs in delight.
Holy fuck, that was incredible!
I give him a dramatic bow and walk over to lean against the counter beside him again. We stand there grinning at each other like crazy for a few moments without saying anything. I don't normally get to show off my power in front of people outside of my family, and honestly, that felt amazing. Theo taps his fingers lightly on the countertop between us and asks,
"So, are you just here visiting for the summer?"
"No, I'm staying with Aurora for a while. I'll be starting school here next week." Theo's eyes light up.
"What grade are you in?"
"I'll be a senior." He taps his fingers again, sliding his hand closer to me.
"Me too."
"We should hang out," I blurt without thinking. I'm embarrassed at my enthusiasm. I don't want to scare him away. Theo laughs, doing that adorable scrunchy thing with his nose again.
"Okay, I'm going to talk to my uncle first, but I'll try to come back over here tomorrow. Are you cool with that?"
If he's going to talk to his uncle, maybe that means I might get to see him shift. But either way, I definitely want to hang out with him. He's so cute, and he seems like he'd be a lot of fun. I nod at him, giving him another smile. His eyes scan over my face and body again, quickly this time, like he just can't help himself. It makes my skin tingle in excitement. But then his eyes twinkle mischievously, and he gives me a lopsided smile.
"By the way, you've got a little dirt."
He motions to a spot on my face. I love that he's teasing me already. I make my eyes wide and innocent, and I lift a hand to my cheek.
"Oh? Where?"
He laughs and shrugs.
"Well, everywhere."
I dramatically look down at my dirt-streaked clothing and body, and I pick up one of my feet and wiggle my toes toward him.
"Hmm, would you look at that? I didn't even notice."
He's still laughing when Aurora finally makes an appearance again. She smiles at us innocently as she hands Theo a basket filled with different labeled pouches and containers. It didn't occur to me to ask before, but I wonder why Theo's uncle needs the supplies. Aurora said they use her potions when they get sick, since they can't go to a regular doctor. "Just tell Hawthorne I put it on his tab." Aurora waves her hand dismissively when Theo pulls his wallet out. He grins and thanks her and turns back to me.
"I have to go now, but I'll see you tomorrow."
I grin and reassure him. "I'll be here." He gives me one more smile before walking out the door of the bookshop, making the bell chime above him. I'm suddenly grateful to Aurora for introducing me to Theo, because even though I don't entirely understand it, my magic inside of me is singing, and I somehow know that he's going to be an important part of my life.
3. Cricket.
I'm standing behind the counter, scrolling mindlessly through my Instagram feed. I keep glancing at the entrance of the shop and checking the time on the computer screen in front of me, which is stupid because Theo never specified what time he'd be coming by. For all I know, he changed his mind. It's not like I can ask him, since we'd never exchanged numbers. Even if I had his number, I wouldn't want to text him and look like an overzealous dolt. The bell chimes over the door, and I nearly break my neck from looking up so quickly. But it's just two middle-aged women holding a flyer between them. They look around the bookshop and finally spot me behind the counter.
Hi, can I help you?
I give them a sweet smile. They shuffle over to the counter with shy smiles on their faces. Stella had been curled up next to my elbow. When she sees them approaching, she quickly stands up and hisses threateningly at them. One woman jumps back and makes a small noise of surprise. I smile apologetically as Stella climbs up on my shoulder, licking her paw casually. Sorry about that. She's a little temperamental sometimes. The second lady, the one who didn't jump back, smiles and waves her hand dismissively. She leans forward and whispers,
"Is this the right place for the tarot card readings?"
She pronounces it wrong, but I don't say anything. I love these types of women who think it's so naughty and taboo to see a fortune teller. I grin and nod encouragingly.
Sure is. Let me grab my aunt for you.
Stella stays perched on my shoulder as I walk to the back of the store where Aurora is reorganizing a display. I let her know she has two customers waiting for a tarot card reading. She looks down at her watch and says,
"Paisley should be here in about 15 minutes. Are you okay watching the register until then?"
I nod and walk back up front with her. Aurora greets the women, and the one I spoke to responds animatedly. While they discuss prices and what sort of reading they'd like, the woman Stella startled gives me disapproving side glances. I'm wearing an outfit similar to the one I had on yesterday. Yet another pair of super short jean shorts with a frayed hem and another cropped bralette top that makes my boobs look totally amazing. I have a black and red flannel tied loosely around my waist, and I actually brought shoes downstairs with me today. My sandals are sitting just behind the counter. After receiving way too many frowns from the woman, I can't help myself. I slap a shit-eating grin on my face and put one hand on my hip, jutting my hip out to the side while bending my knee dramatically. She finally looks away, but she keeps that awful, judgmental frown on her face. I hear someone snickering to my left, and I look up to find Theo watching me. I grin in surprise, my stomach fluttering in excitement. He's standing in front of the wall-length bookcase next to the sliding ladder. As I walk up to him, I notice his entire body shaking with uncontrollable laughter.
"What are you doing? I didn't even hear you come in."
I know I'm smiling like an idiot, but I'm ridiculously excited to see him again. He chuckles.
"Sorry, I was just really enjoying watching you be a smartass to that lady."
Aurora is about to lead the ladies upstairs to one of her offices when she sees me standing with Theo. She smiles at him and reminds me,
"Paisley should be here soon. You're free to go then."
I smile and nod at her in acknowledgement, and I turn back around to face Theo. It's obvious he's been checking me out again, but at least I'm not covered in dirt this time. He looks even cuter than I remember. His outfit is similar to what he was wearing yesterday, too. He's wearing gray shorts and a blue skating shirt with the same Vans as before. Blue looks good on him, making his hair look even more red and gorgeous. His eyes land on Stella, and he raises his eyebrows.
"Who's this?"
I somehow forgot he hadn't met her yet. She'd been sleeping out in the garden when he came in yesterday. She's being good, just sitting quietly as she watches Theo curiously.
"This is Stella."
I reach my hand up to scratch her head lovingly. "She's my familiar." Theo gives me a curious glance. I know he doesn't know what a familiar is. Before I can explain or warn him about Stella's antisocial nature, he reaches a hand up and starts scratching her head the way I did. I go still and hold my breath. Stella purrs and rubs her head against his hand. I'm completely dumbstruck, and I'm sure my jaw is nearly hitting the floor. Stella turns and gives me a smug look, and then she jumps onto Theo's chest, where she continues purring and rubbing her face against his jaw. He's chuckling and supporting her bottom with one hand while he strokes her soft fur with the other.
"Hello, Stella. It's a pleasure to meet you."
I'm still completely stunned and afraid to interrupt. When Theo sees my expression, he winces.
"Sorry, am I not supposed to touch her? I don't know what a familiar is."
He pries her off him like he's going to hand her back, but I hold my hands up and practically shout,
"No!"
He goes totally still and stares at me in alarm, and I notice his nostrils flare a few times. Stella is still purring and kneading his shoulder with a satisfied smile on her tiny...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?